Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Oshawa Generals skate out with their 11th straight win. 2-1 the final in overtime, and I'll say again, this one left me wanting just a little bit. Such a well-played game, and it ends on the first shot of overtime. Let's take you back to the beginning of this game. 1:23 in, Connor Lockhart scores his 26th of the season. Rasmus Kumpulainen the assist, and it was 1-0 for Oshawa, but quick. And not too long after, just over 2 minutes later, Matt Sopp would score his 43rd from Adrian Misiljevic and Carson Rakoff. That one came at 3:56 of the first. It was 1-1 after one. Oshawa outshoots the Rangers 16-8. In the second, no scoring. Oshawa outshoots Kitchener 10-6. In the third period, no scoring. Kitchener outshoots Oshawa 10-9. And off to overtime we go, where Connor Lockhart gets the winner just 18 seconds in. Lockhart's 27th from Callum Ritchie and Luca Morelli. That is your GWG, the game-winning goal. Oshawa 2, the Rangers 1. The Generals, the only team in this game who had any power play opportunities. They went 0-for-3 on the Channers power play. The Rangers were 0-for-0. And Kitchener loses its third in a row and fourth in their past five, while Oshawa makes it 11 consecutive victories to maintain their hold on first place in the Eastern Conference. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the Oshawa Generals do it in overtime. 2-1 the final as the Gens edge the Kitchener Rangers on this night. Two games between these teams this season, and really in both instances, well-played games. It was a 3-2 Ranger win on New Year's Day in Oshawa, that one ending in regulation, and a 2-1 final here tonight, 18 seconds into overtime. The Gens win it, and they maintain their hold on first place in the Eastern Conference. Let's look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. This is not the only game to go to overtime. Kingston and Ottawa tied 2-2. They are in OT at Slush Puppy Place in Kingston. Meantime, in London, the Windsor Spitfires gave the Knights all they could handle, but Easton Cowan, with his 33rd of the season, scores the winner midway through the third. London 4, the Windsor Spitfires 3. The Mississauga Steelheads are making a game of it at home to the North Bay Battalion. It was 3-1 North Bay. It's now 4-3 Battalion leading. And there are still 8 minutes to play at Paramount Fine Food Center in Mississauga. In Sarnia, the Sting trail the Saginaw Spirit 4-1. The Sudbury Wolves into double digits now on home ice to the Barrie Colts. 12-4, the Wolves leading the Colts. And in Sault Ste. Marie, the Greyhounds have a 3-1 lead on the Flint Firebirds. There's a look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. Let's send you downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm with head coach UC Hocus. And coach, a bit of a depleted lineup. Were you pleased with what you got out of the guys that you had in the lineup?
Well, third period, I liked how we played. They were smart, but the first two periods, we played like peewee hockey. That amount of turnovers, if you give any team, you're going to give a lot of chances. And that was, we weren't playing playoff hockey those two periods. We were playing just to get by, and that's not what we wanted. I wasn't pleased at all. Third period, I thought we picked up. We should have shot more. We were passing shots. And but all in all, Parson, great game. Our PK was strong. What were positives?
Parsons was great, and I just another player to mention I would think is Andonovsky. I thought had a really solid hockey game for your club.
Well, really good. Huge blocks for the team. Playing physical, that's his game, and I thought he was really good too. Yeah,
Coach, is it kind of bizarre that Oshawa goes through the whole game and doesn't get a penalty? You guys end up with three.
No, I guess. It was actually well. We didn't have our power play coach on the bench, so maybe that's why it was.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck tomorrow, Neary.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Yes, Jeff Kurzak is the guy that runs the power play, not on the bench. So how can you give the team a power play if they don't have a power play coach to help them do it? Interesting analysis from the Rangers head coach, who also said his team played peewee hockey for the first 40 minutes. Third period was a good period. I thought it was a pretty well-played hockey match all around, but perhaps an opportunity left on the table for the Kitchener Rangers tonight in a 2-1 loss to the Oshawa Generals. Connor Lockhart, both goals for the victorious visitors. Post-game coverage is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, a 2-1 overtime win for the Oshawa Generals. Paul Fixter, ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm with tonight's third star, Matthew Andonovsky. Matthew, congratulations on him being recognized as third star. I think a lot of that goes for how effective you are on the penalty kill. How much pride do you take in being a top-end penalty killer?
Yeah, I feel like that's my strong suit in my game, and when I'm blocking shots and getting engaged that way, I feel like I'm really engaged in the game, and I feel like my game really grows on that when I'm blocking shots and playing physical. So I feel like my all-around game benefits from that, and obviously the team benefits as well.
Are you cognizant of the standing ovation you got when you went off the ice after those two block shots?
Yeah, it was pretty loud. It's amazing how much the fans appreciate you blocking shots. So, yeah, it was nice to hear that. I'm in so much pain. It was not really nice.
Matthew, are you concerned at all with the club having lost three in a row as you head into the playoffs here after tomorrow's game against Erie?
I don't think there's too much concern. I think there's a little bit. I think we need to limit our turnovers and kind of simplify our game a little bit going to playoffs. The game gets a little bit tighter. So I think tightening up our game a little bit, less turnovers in the neutral zone, and trying to get to work in the offensive zone will really help our game going to the playoffs. So we're looking to do that tomorrow in Erie.
What's it going to take to get the win in Erie and you know, get back in the winning ways as you head into the playoffs?
Yeah, I feel like we just need to play a full 60 minutes. We only played 20 tonight, so if we play a full 60 minutes, I think we have enough belief in our group that we can get the job done and get the 2 points tomorrow.
Thanks for coming out here to do this. Now go get some ice on that knee.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Matt Andonovsky, post-game thoughts following a 2-1 Oshawa win here at the Memorial Auditorium. Your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take them and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Just watching politician Paul Fixter trying to make his way back up here to the booth, but shaking hands. If there was a baby there to kiss, I'm sure he'd do it as he makes his way through the stands to get back up to the broadcast booth here. It's a 2-1 victory for the Oshawa Generals over the Rangers tonight. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game. Your three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Matt Andonovsky, from whom you just heard, was an absolute beast on the back end for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. Not to mention a wee bit of a shot-blocking machine. And for his effort, Andonovsky was recognized as the third star of this game. Jackson Parsons was perhaps the very best Ranger on the ice tonight. He faced 36 shots. He made 34 saves in a losing cause. He is named star number two. And Connor Lockhart, both goals for the Oshawa Generals in this one, numbers 26 and 27 on the season, and Lockhart is named star number one. So your three stars go Lockhart, Parsons, and Andonovsky. a crowd of 7,029 here to take this one in. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. We're back to wrap and then get to your phone calls on Rangers Talk right after this. Stay with us. Your post-game show brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Some final thoughts from me and Fixie here at the Memorial Auditorium. Then we're packing up and hitting the road. We're going to turn things over to James Sebastian Scott back in the studio for Rangers Talk tonight. And I have no doubt that James is ready to hear all your wildest theories around how badly the Rangers got screwed with that suspension to Trent Swick and some other things. Not to mention, their coach just said they played two periods of Pee Wee hockey and they've lost four of their past five with only one game to go before the playoffs. So James is standing by to take your calls during Rangers Talk. But, Paul, as you and I finish up here tonight, the coach's comments notwithstanding, and look, I'll never claim to have as good or as critical an eye as the head coach. I thought this was a reasonably well-played game by the Rangers tonight, especially considering all of the noise that was around this team and this league since Tuesday.
Yeah, I concur with you, Mike. I thought it was a well-played hockey game. You know, the one thing the coach always stresses is puck management. I don't think he was real pleased with some of the turnovers that they made in the first period. They had Jackson Parsons to backstop them, but I thought it was a pretty well-played game. He really liked their play in the third period, so hopefully they can replicate that and carry it over into their game in Erie tomorrow, because I think that's a really important game for this club. You don't want to go into the playoffs not feeling good about yourself, and when you lose, you don't feel good about yourself. And I think they got shorted here today, because I thought they played a better game than the coach's assessment, I have to be honest. Pee Wee hockey was a pretty strong criticism.
One of the biggest things that stood out to me watching this one tonight is, and I'll echo Don Cameron as I so often do, two cousins and a stranger. That's what it seemed like on the lines for Kitchener tonight. No Edward Chalet. Trent Swick obviously out with that suspension. Philip Machar was like he was on an island tonight, because he's usually with Chalet and Miseljevic. He was with neither of them tonight, and it was the mixmaster, as you call it, for the lines. I think that had a bit of an impact, certainly, on the Rangers' ability to generate offensively tonight.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Mike, again. And then the younger players were getting a lot more. They basically had three lines and then two extras that had to fill in, and so it's tough. You know, they only had a couple of days to really practice those lines. And, you know, you practice all year, so you're familiar with one another. But there was a play in the first period, I believe, where you called it and you said they passed it to the wing where, Ellenis would be. And so they're out of sync in that regard a little bit. I don't think that you need to read too much into this loss, because you just held the top team in the Eastern Conference to two goals. And they had to take you to overtime to beat you. So I think that's a pretty good effort by the Rangers. Oshawa had a full staff lineup, their top goaltender in, and Rangers did a pretty good job of keeping it close.
The fix was out for City Cabs on Hunter Brustevich getting 3 points tonight, all 3 points he needed to set a new record for points in a season by a Rangers defenseman. You nailed that one. And now Jason Gladney's record may be safe, because Brustevich needs 3 points. He's got one game left to do it. The fix was out on the Rangers top line outplaying the Generals top line. Actually, the Rangers did do that. Rakoff, Sopp, and Miseljevic combined on the lone Ranger goal, and it was only Callum Ritchie who picked up a point for the Oshawa Generals. And the last one I wanted to ask you about, what would be more likely, Oshawa finishing first or Kitchener playing Guelph? You said it would be more likely Oshawa finishes first in the East. They take a big step towards that tonight. We're headed to Erie. It's going to be either the Otters or the Guelph Storm for the Kitchener Rangers in round number one. And really, tomorrow night's game will go a long way towards determining that. Because if the Rangers beat Erie, Guelph needs just 1 point when they play in Owen Sound tomorrow or when they play in London on Sunday to clinch fifth. If Erie wins, Guelph has got to beat Owen Sound or London. Actually, they need 3 of 4 points is what they would need. Because a tie, the tie break goes to Erie. So it's a big game to determine the Rangers' first-round opponent tomorrow night.
It's a really big game, and the last time the Rangers were in there was a horrible experience.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, we want to put that out of our memory. I'm supposed to be a neutral, right, and not cheer for a team. Trust me, I'm cheering for the Rangers big time tomorrow because I want Guelph. I don't want Erie. And so Rangers need to go out and get a win, make me happy, and then Erie, and then Guelph needs to go get 1 point somewhere along the way in Owen Sound or London, and then we're all set. And I think after what just transpired here on Tuesday night, I think it sets up for a wonderful first-round series with words like hate and, you know, all those strong words that were said after the game. I think it'd be great first-round matchup.
All right.
It's 30 minutes versus 3.5 hours.
I'm with you on that one, Fixie. I'm with you on that one. We will go and enjoy Erie for the day tomorrow and hope nothing against Pennsylvania or the Otters or anything, but we will hope that we won't be back in the first round. We hope you stay with us through Rangers Talk tonight. James Sebastian Scott standing by to take your calls. And, of course, we expect you to be here for the playoffs, okay? We will be, the Rangers will be, and we know you'll be along with us as well. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixter, and our producer back at the boardwalk, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. We send you back to the studio for Rangers Talk, and I bid you a very good night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
Welcome to Rangers Talk on Sydney News 570. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Mike and Paul. They're packing up the gear, getting on a bus to Erie. And I, for one, as the person who manages the entire radio station, I also do hope that they open the playoffs in Guelph and not Erie. It'll save me all kinds of scheduling headaches if I'm being selfish. So if I'm looking at the standings right now, and I'm looking at the game tomorrow night, one, I need the Kitchener Rangers to win against the Erie Otters tomorrow. That will help. And two, I need Guelph to beat Owen Sound at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And then I'll be happy, as Fixie says, he would be happy. And what more could you ask for in a first-round matchup than that Highway 7 rivalry between the Rangers and the Storm? Now, if I'm the Storm, I've been playing playoff hockey for a couple weeks now, and they've been playing good hockey, knowing that they beat the Rangers the last two games that they played, back-to-back, by the way, once in Guelph, once in Kitchener. And we obviously know that rivalry is heated, given that Trent Swick was suspended for 5 games from that last game that was played in Kitchener against Guelph. Jeff Kurzakis, the assistant coach for the Kitchener Rangers, was suspended 2 games for what the OHL calls actions in the game against Guelph. But before we get to all that, and listen, I'm selfish, so I want them to start in Guelph or against Guelph. You know, play 2 games next week against Guelph at the odd. Play 2 games the week after in Guelph. I don't lose the talk show host for an extended period of time, and everyone's happy. I can be selfish, right? But the Kitchener Rangers dropping their game tonight against the Oshawa Generals 2-1. as the guy said throughout the broadcast, they thought the Rangers played better than Jussi Ahokas's assessment of his team playing. He did have strong comments post-game saying that they played, quote, peewee hockey. And for any of you that don't follow the levels of hockey in terms of the age group that that the peewee age is, that's not a compliment to his Kitchener Rangers squad. It's not a compliment. But that was his assessment of how the team played tonight. Too many turnovers. We heard Matt Andonofsky actually agree with the assessment that the coach gave post-game, saying that they only played 20 minutes of a full 60 minutes. And, I mean, what better way than to get on a bus after your third straight loss, after playing a top squad in the Ontario Hockey League, and just getting back on the horse again against a team that you've had a little bit of success against this year, but also a team that that has made it a little bit difficult for the Kitchener Rangers this season too. The last time the Rangers were in Erie, 6-1 loss. I think the Rangers would want to end their season on a decent note, which would mean not losing four straight and starting the playoffs on the right foot. And you never, I know it's cliche to say probably, you never want to end the season on a loss, but it's true because once the regular season ends, I mean, we all know that this team has been in the fourth spot for a few weeks now and they haven't been able to climb. That's fine. We know that they're likely going to play one of the Erie Otters or the Guelph Storm in the first round of the playoffs. So I would hope that this team comes out tomorrow night against Erie and puts this bad loss behind them. And it wasn't a terrible game either. I mean, you heard Fixie say that he didn't really agree with the coach's assessment of how his team played. They played one of the top teams in the league really close all night with the Oshawa Generals. And really, the difference in the game is Connor Lockhart. Connor Lockhart 2, Kitchener Rangers 1. That's really what the difference was. And my assessment of this is that they score .123 into the first period. Okay, you're down 1-0. And then they respond a few minutes later. That's a good sign. That's a good sign, especially against a good team like Oshawa. And it's a coin toss when you start overtime in this league that if you get there, it could go anyway. And it went the Generals' way tonight. I don't read too much into the fact that the Rangers got zero power plays against them getting three penalties. I don't know. It's hard to put that assessment on, you know, a game that moves fast, a game that isn't as clutchy and grabby as it used to be. And I think that, you know, Jussi Ahokas, he has that sense of humor going for him too. I guess you can't have any power plays if your power play coach isn't on the bench. That's a pretty fair assessment, I think. And Ahokas can thank the Ontario Hockey League for not having his power play coach on the bench tonight. We can head to the phones. We have Evan on the line. Evan, what was your assessment of the game tonight?
James, buddy, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. To be honest, despite the loss and I don't know. I don't even know exactly what to say, but sorry about the noise.
You're on live radio, Evan.
Give me a sec. Sorry about that.
Okay. What was your assessment of the game, Evan?
You know, like UC Ahokas said, they only played one period of that, so like 20 minutes. But considering the Rangers are in the playoffs, I'm not overly that worried. So shout out to you for, holding the fort tonight as the boys are off in Erie tomorrow. And I wish you a good night.
All right. Thanks, Evan. Appreciate the call. Evan's not concerned about the loss tonight. That's good. I'm glad that Evan's not concerned. I'm more concerned about whatever the hell he was doing other than talking to me. Like that, I think I was a lot nicer to Evan than what Farwell would have been had Farwell been on this end of things tonight. Anyways, we won't. I don't. What was he doing? I don't know. We will not. We'll not spend too much time on that. We have Bob from Preston. Bob.
Junior hockey, man, you gotta love it. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's a funny game sometimes, isn't it?
Like sticking your hand in a bowl of Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, kind of.
It is. But I tell you what, I got to love that coach. I enjoy listening to him at all, all the time. And what he did tonight was perfect. He basically said what he wanted to say, and he painted them all with that one brush so nobody took it personal. You know, when you tell the whole team you play like a bunch of peewees, oh, man. I mean, if you haven't played the game, you just shake your head, oh, boy, yeah, we did play bad. And nobody takes it personal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hurt the feelings. And I think it's because he's like a grown man now, and he's coached, from kids right up to men and won divisions all over the world, sort of. And I think he's a great guy for this age of kids, between 16 to 21, that can mold them properly. So I think he's good for us and for here.
Yeah, and, he comes with pedigree too, right? Oh. He won the World Juniors with Team Finland. He's coached a couple pro teams in Finland as well. He's helped coach when it comes to the women's team in Finland as well. So he comes with pedigree. It's not just, and his dry sense of humor too. I mean, I can't get enough of that.
It's there. You take care, brother.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. That is definitely, if I'm the players and I hear that, I'm like, they spent 67 games with this guy as his head coach and all of training camp getting to know him. And I've always likened him to, he's like a James Bond villain to me. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of the times when he's on the bench, he's got his hair slicked back. And I wasn't very happy with him when he coached that World Junior team that won the gold medal the one year that they did. But when it comes to that, he has very honest assessments about his players and how they play. But he does it in a way, like Bob said, he does it in a way where it is palatable for his players to take on the chin when they didn't play very well. But I don't know. I saw the game that they played and, Jackson Parsons played a magnificent game tonight. If I'm the Rangers, that's how I want my goaltender playing two games before the playoffs. He was outstanding tonight. He made the Generals work for every chance that they got. And credit to Connor Lockhart for the release that he has. Because that is truthfully what beat Jackson Parsons more than anything is that quick release that Connor Lockhart has. If it wasn't for that release, I don't think we'd be talking about a Rangers loss maybe. But Connor Lockhart, definitely a high caliber player in this in this game and in this league. And it really came down to that. That was the deciding factor. The reason why I say I don't buy the whole penalty argument, if the Jens were 3-for-3 on the power play, then it's okay. You know, I would at least expect that the Rangers got one. But in a game like the game of hockey today, just because one team gets three power play chances and the other team gets zero doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of the refs owing you a call. The refs don't owe anyone a call in the league. We all know how the officiating can be in this league. I'm pretty sure the reason why Jeff Kurzakis is suspended is because he let Darcy Burchill know how his officiating was in this league on Tuesday night. And that's why he's suspended. Because I think one Ontario Hockey League official got his feelings hurt just a little bit and might have complained to the league office. That's my assumption. I don't have any insight into that, but that's my assumption. But again, going back to that, the penalties that are called, if it was 3-for-3 for the Jens in the power play, okay, you kind of would expect that the Rangers would get a call the other way. But the Rangers killed those penalties off, and they played well. Jacob Oster played well tonight, too. It really came down to that one chance at the end of the game, and what a quick game that this was. 2 hours and 12 minutes it was played in. Outside of the two goals in the first period, I think this Rangers team started the third period on the right foot after probably they got some strong words from their coach in the locker room before the third period started. They were outshot this whole night against the Jens, except for the third period where the Rangers outshot them 10-9. But it's a good game to build off of, knowing that, you know, you got Erie tomorrow, and Erie's trying to sneak their way into that fifth spot to play the Rangers in the first round. And the Rangers can really, really end their season on a high note. So let's head back to the phones. We have Grant on the line. Grant, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought they played a pretty decent game, better than the Tuesday game. I don't agree with him saying first and second period, but I do like him as a coach, because during other games, he will say, yeah, they played good, or he'll pick a player, yeah, he played good, but he could do better, which, in my opinion, it's good, because if I'm hearing that, all right, I'm going to do not just 5% more, I'm going to do 20% more or 50% more to show this guy that I am up there. And as for our assistant coach yelling at the ref and the league crying over that, is a bunch of garbage, in my opinion. If you can't complain about an officiating in this league, then there's got to be something wrong with these people at the higher up. It shows me that these refs aren't good at all. There's, in my opinion, there's no way that if I'm a coach, I'm coming back, and if you don't like it, then you step down. The whole league needs to step down, and this suspension to Trent is a joke. Smarten up the league. They have to smarten. And if I'm the coach, I'm bringing Trent back on Friday. And like I said, if they don't like it, I'm taking you to court, and I win, because it's rubbish. If Sudbury can overturn it, we can overturn it, and I hope the Rangers organization appeals it. They should, and they would win 100%. The league is garbage. They don't care. I watched all the games in the playoffs last year, and every game they missed a penalty. Your job is to call a penalty. And it's been going on for years where you have refs that have no clue what they're doing out there. The worst ref in the league we had way back in the 80s was Bill Pressinac. I wrote to the league, and all they could say, well, they're doing their best. No. My job is, if I'm working at the hospital, I have to do my job. Their job is to do the job, or you don't have the job ever.
All right, Grant, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Probably the best Grant rant I've ever had on this show. And that's what I'm going to call it. That was a Grant rant. Listen, we can sit here and complain about the officiating all we want. And it's true. There's some nights the officiating is good. There's some nights where it's terrible. And I think there's more nights that the officiating is terrible in this league than it is good. And that's where I can hear the frustration from Grant. I can hear the frustration when I watch Mike's video that he put together about inconsistencies in this league. When I see that Sudbury's players were suspended and they weren't suspended for any games in the playoffs, but they were suspended for games going into the next season, then they appealed it and it got overturned. Okay, I get that. How you fix that, I'm not really sure. Because the league is a league is the league, and they're going to decide how they're going to police this game. And if you're sitting at home and you think, when you look at what Trent Swick did on Tuesday night against the Guelph Storm, and granted, when I played hockey, I loved when I had a teammate that would stick up for another teammate the way that Trent did for Cameron Reed on Tuesday night against the Guelph Storm. However, when you look at it from a player safety perspective, what Trent Swick did does deserve a suspension. No, I don't think anyone is going to question that. I think what we question is the inconsistency on how that suspension is delivered to Trent Swick, and that he is getting games into the playoffs that he cannot play. Trent Swick will not be back with this Rangers team. As much as Grant wants him to be back on Friday for game one of the playoffs, he cannot play until game four of the first round of the playoffs. That has a significant impact on who you're going to have in your lineup, what Trent Swick could do in a playoff game. And I think, anyways, if you're looking at how the league can tighten up on some of their decisions, they have to look at the precedents that they are setting when they suspend one player and they don't get playoff games, but then suspend another player and that player gets playoff games. I think that's what everyone's pissed off about, right? And it just so happens that, obviously, it's the Rangers that it happened to, right? And I think that's what we're all mad about. We have Steven on the line. Steven, go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, not bad. Yeah. Oh, boy. When the game started at first with the goals and the chances, I thought, boy, are we going to be running and gunning all night and just trading chances and hoping we score one more goal than them. But yeah, then it tightened up in the second for sure. Yeah, Jackson Parsons, I mean, it's the reason why this game was only 2-1 for sure. I mean, I kind of thought the first goal, the overtime goal, kind of fooled him, but everything in between was great. But, and Jacob Oster, he played a good game, but you have to remember, you don't have Trent Swick, you don't have Mitch Martin in his cage, in his grill, making his life tough.
And no Edward Chalet either tonight.
Yeah.
So three players that could make a significant impact.
Yeah, and I mean, as with Grant, I do agree. You know, I mean, If you're going to give Trent Swick suspension, for sure. He did. He just took down the guy. But Namestnikov, what did he get? He took out Cameron Reed, literally. So what's Namestnikov is sitting there with nothing. So that's the part that pisses me off. I mean, you know, Branch says we want to take away these blindside hits. We want to take away, you know, these type of plays. Well, practice what you preach. So Namestnikov keeps playing, right?
Yeah. Hockey has always been a game where the retaliation will get the penalty, right? And it's never, a lot of the times, I wouldn't say never, it's a lot of the times that the initial thing that sparked a reaction doesn't get touched by the league.
You know, I mean, like you can see the replay, definitely. I could understand why UC Hokus was upset.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you want to say this is what you want to take out of the game. So, like I said, start taking it out of the game. And why don't you look at the replay and suspend him too, you know? But anyhow, whatever. I mean, you definitely want to go in the playoffs in a high note. But, I mean, this, you know, I wouldn't call this, you know, a game that, you know, you were blown out. You weren't, you know, definitely. But, again, it's almost like a while back, you have a roster, you don't have the same players. So,
yeah.
You know, that's fine. It is what it is. But anyway, my friend, have a good night.
Okay. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate the call. And yeah, I think Stephen's right. I think there is, you could have looked at Namestnikov's hit and said, okay, that probably deserves a game at least. And he got away untouched, but Trent Swick delivered, a few haymakers to Namestnikov to make up for that. And that's not always the right thing to do sometimes, because that's what got Trent Swick suspended. But at the same time, you can't let that go unaddressed on the ice. And you know what? Trent Swick policed it himself, and he's now paying the price for it. And sometimes that happens in hockey too. We got Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, go ahead.
How's it going tonight, James?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciated what Grant had to say there. Grant was going on there, and he tried to articulate his thoughts there, and he's good. Can you let me go on there for a few seconds there, James?
You're on.
Okay. All right. Well, I remember Kurzakis there. They nickname him Crackers, right? And you got to hang on, LRT there. But Crackers is suspended for 2 games. But there was a gentleman that was downtown. I was chatting with there last week, and he was a little bit older than I was when I was a kid. But he said, "Remember, there was no plexiglass there, you know, before the games and stuff like that when DeBoer and Spott were there coaching."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, you know." And he's like, yeah, he's like, I heard stuff I never heard before as a kid in my life. He's getting players going and getting on refs and this, that, and the other thing. And the OHL right now, I believe, James, is walking a serious fine line right now. They've got good fans that want to be at the games and everything like that. But you've got opportunities here to, and obviously I spoke to a few people, they can't rectify Swick's suspension because it was that late in the season. So even if they wanted to rectify it or appeal it, they can't do it. So he's done no matter what. But this is good. This is good adversity for the team. But the OHL is walking a fine line here as to the point where what is a good game? You want people in the stands. You want the 26 or the 34 or whatever dollars going to the organization. How about the odd fight? How about the odd smack into the boards? How about the odd... You know, I don't ever think a swear word hurt anyone's body other than their feelings. So you got to get a little bit tougher in the game of hockey, I truly believe, especially with the playoffs around the corner. The bus is loaded up to Erie. They're ready to go here.
Yeah.
And what's going on here? And I'll wrap it up real quick. But This is a good thing for the Rangers to be experiencing right now. It really is. They got bodies out of the lineup right now. That's adversity. Good adversity, baby. So what are you going to do about it? You're gonna win, and you're going to take no prisoners. And go team, go, buddy. James, you do a great job, and God bless the team.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. Appreciate the call. Adversity is correct. That is what they're going through right now. I'd like to really just say to Jeffrey, too, Sean Furfaro, the host of Rangers Hockey and Rogers TV, put out a thread on social media after Tuesday night's game. And it was after Jeff Kerzakis's suspension was announced. And obviously, Sean Furfaro, he's between the benches as host of Rogers TV. And he said, and this is the thread, so I'm going to read the thread out, so bear with me. I was between the benches when Kerzakis got tossed from the game. I heard Jeff say to Darcy Burchill, "You're the best, Darcy. It's all about you. You've got to be the center of attention." Burchill said something back, which Furfaro couldn't hear. Kerzakis then responded with, "There's a reason you're not in the NHL," and was ejected from the game. Jeff came off the bench, walked by me on his way to the room. I was about 6 feet away from his position on the bench. During this interaction, at no point did I hear any profanity from Kerzakis when he was speaking to Burchill from the bench or on his way to the room. I'm curious what in that interaction constituted a two-game suspension. I would love to see the game report. And obviously, I think tongue-in-cheek that Sean Furfaro is asking to see the game report. Because there is no game report that gets released about refs calls. But anyways, here's the thing. It's not always the profanity that will get you a suspension from the league. It is sometimes what you say about a referee that will get you a suspension, whether it's right or wrong. And listen, Darcy Burchill's calls have been questioned in this league for as long as I've been watching it. There's many people, many, many, many people I have spoken to who watch games in this league that think Darcy Burchill is not a great referee. Plain and simple. It's not an easy job either. So whoever thinks it's an easy job to officiate hockey, it's not an easy job. And I would implore any one of you who are critical of referees, including myself, I've done it. I have done it. It is not an easy job to try it out and see how much pressure that you have when you're on the ice and you're trying to keep track of 10 players all at once and making sure that they're following the rules. Just try it. We have to head to a break, and then we're going to do a little bit something different. We're going to talk to someone who also works for this company, but he helps with Oshawa Generals games, and we're going to get his assessment of the Gens before they head into the playoffs. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more of Rangers Talk on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
All right, welcome back to Rangers Talk on City News 570. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Mike and Paul. They are getting on the Rangers bus, heading to Erie. What a game for the last home game of the regular season for the Kitchener Rangers at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. The next time the Rangers play a home game, it's going to be playoff hockey, baby. And that's what we look forward to the entire time. They have one more game tomorrow in Erie. If Erie wins, that for sure puts them in fifth place and will play the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs. If the Rangers can hold them off and win that game, they will likely, and if Guelph wins tomorrow too, they will likely get Guelph in the first round. And honestly, selfishly, that's what I want to, just to make my scheduling a little bit easier. So we're going to go to Andrew Osmond now, just for a quick, brief interview here. He helps with some Generals games over there in Oshawa. Andrew, how's it going?
Hey, James. It's going well. How are you?
Good, thanks. So the Rangers gave the Jennies a little bit of a pulse check here tonight, eh?
Yeah, going down to the wire, 1-1 into overtime. And, not unusual for the Generals, though. They frequent overtime, and they frequent those close games and those comebacks. So they're not strangers to kind of games like that. So I'm not surprised, I guess, to see them come out on top in a game like that where it's tight the whole way and facing the strong goaltending like they did tonight, but came on top with Connor Lockhart getting those two goals and the one in overtime there to win it.
It was, I mean, you can tell me, because you watch Connor Lockhart a lot more than we do down here. We only see Oshawa twice a year. And when we were down in Oshawa playing them, the Rangers came out on top. So in terms of just how well this team plays defensively, but also can surprise you, I guess, when it comes to their offensive outputs, what are your thoughts on Connor Lockhart winning this game and being the only goal scorer for the Generals tonight?
Yeah, he's kind of that guy that's like this season's been that unsung hero at times. If you look kind of at the Generals roster, they got, you know, some NHL potential talent of, you know, with a number of draft picks already and a couple guys signed NHL deals for next year. But they also got Beckett Seneca, a projected first round draft pick as well for the NHL coming up in this year's draft. But Connor Lockhart's that veteran guy. Won a OHL championship last year with Peterborough as an assistant captain there. So he's got that veteran presence and knows what it's like to win. And in games like this where, you know, Callum Ritchie or Beckett Seneca or Stuart Roloff, any of those top guys on the front end of things aren't really clicking as much, he's the guy that comes through. And that's kind of what happened today is, you know, you didn't see a lot offensively from anybody other than Lockhart in the end of the day. He's able to find kind of those open ice, and we saw it there in overtime where, you know, we grabbed that puck, had that extra, you know, burst of speed and had that kind of clean shot on net there on the right side and just stuck it past for the OT winner in that first opening minute.
Yeah, I feel for Parsons a little bit as a guy who has played goalie and has been in an overtime situation much like tonight, just because it can end that fast, 18 seconds into a period where, you know, Lockhart gets a quick release and it's in the back of your net.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's nothing new really to Connor Lockhart either. He's able to do that. He's done it for quite a while at being this veteran in the Ontario Hockey League, and you know, he's able to find those spots on the ice, and that's why coach puts him out early in overtime to really take advantage of that. And he's not the guy you expect either, right? Like, he's, I think, maybe sixth or seventh on the team in scoring, and the Generals don't really have any of those top guys in OHL scoring for the most part. It's all the depth there, and that's what Connor Lockhart is. He's that depth part of this team. The Generals got 9 guys with 50 points or more in the Ontario Hockey League. I believe only the London Knights are the only other team with 9 guys with 50 points on the year. So they've really got that depth, but their leading scorer is Callum Ritchie, who's only played, I believe, 50 games in the year. Started the season kind of injured and was, you know, being looked at by the Colorado Avalanche, being a draft pick of theirs. So he didn't get a quick start to the year and took a while for him to get his legs under him. But it's just the depth, and Connor Lockhart speaks to that depth, and that's what we saw tonight.
The Steelheads lost their game tonight, which obviously is something that Jens fans were looking at in terms of how they would do in their game, because obviously the first place in the Eastern Conference was still, I mean, the Jens were still playing for something tonight and for that seeding. So knowing that the Steelheads lost tonight and now the Jens have that 3-point cushion with the 2 points tonight, and now they're heading into a game where they're going to be playing the Sudbury Wolves on Sunday. What's your assessment of kind of where the Jens are going to finish the season and who they're going to be playing in the first round potentially with Barry?
Yeah, well, looking like kind of going back into almost the start of the calendar year in 2024, Oshawa was kind of midway through the pack in the standings and you know, wasn't really a lock for the playoffs, really. I remember we were talking kind of on our broadcast out of the Durham region, Rogers TV, that, you know, what is the chances here of not just them making the playoffs, but is there a chance for them to push for, you know, home ice advantage? That was the topic of conversation because they were kind of sixth and fifth in standings and was like, well, are they going to crack even fourth to get maybe home ice in round one? And here they are clinching the division tonight and then hoping, obviously, by Sunday to clinch the conference and have home ice throughout, you know, the eastern portion of the playoffs here. And, they kind of just pulled through as of the calendar year rolling over, really got going. And, yeah, we talked about they face Sudbury on Sunday. most recently on this stretch, they've played Sudbury twice on the road and won both of those games handedly, rather 6-2 and then 8-5 as well. In Sudbury's barn, this will be in Oshawa come Sunday for the final game of the regular season. So they've had Sudbury's number recently on this stretch of 11 straight wins, and they're just kind of rolling right now. And I think they really don't look at a team and don't feel intimidated by anybody, really. Like, Sudbury's obviously a team that they need to win against. Brantford's a team that they were battling for quite a while, and they've, you know, now secured that division title. So they've done well against even Mississauga in this stretch too. Kitchener tonight, they're really handling themselves against the top tier teams in the league, including London as well. They beat London in London. So it's hard to find a team that they can't really beat exactly right now. And it's not just lower tier teams. It's the top ones that they're really coming on top of.
Yeah. Sudbury beat the Barrie Colts tonight 13-4. So Sudbury's coming into that Sunday game against the Gens, you know, really putting the puck in the back of the net. So I think it's going to be a good game and a nice test for the Generals to kind of end their season. But what is it now? 11 in a row that the Generals have won on this streak that they're on. That's a wild streak to be on.
Oh, yeah, it's a wild streak, and they'll definitely want to go. I haven't talked to anybody, obviously, in the last hour or so that they've won, but they obviously going to want to go into the postseason winning 12 straight games. Reason for that is obviously they might maybe want to lock up a matchup with Barrie Colts. Reason is, you know, the way we fans are kind of, you know, would get nervous about facing Boston or a Tampa Bay in the first round of the NHL playoffs is just hit the history there and not working out. Well, Oshawa, you know, a couple years ago, it was Shane Wright with the Kingston Frontenacs that sent the Generals home in overtime in round one. So, you know, they maybe get nervous of filling into that second spot there if they're not able to take the conference and have to face Kingston in round one, just with that history there. So I think Jens fans will maybe be a bit more comfortable facing Barrie Colts, a team that they maybe don't have as recent, you know, history in the playoffs against, you know, come next week kind of thing.
Well, I'll tell you, Andrew, we paid back Shane Wright when we got rid of him in the first round of the playoffs last year in five games. So there you go. Or four games. It was a sweep, actually. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And then the next round for Kitchener, I guess, wasn't so hot as round one.
No, they lost to London, and we won't talk about that.
No, exactly. That's why I just mentioned it, and I'm not going to dive in.
Andrew, thanks so much for taking some time out of your night to give us a little bit of insight into the Generals, a team that we don't often see very, very much in the season, and how they're doing heading into the postseason. I mean, the Rangers played them really closely tonight, really well. It was kind of like a chess match, almost playoff hockey, and you know, I think the Rangers really matched up well against them tonight, and they just came up short against your Jennies. So there you go, you have one up on me now, Andrew.
Yeah, one up, and then we'll, who knows, maybe you come OHL championship series in the finals, it's Oshawa and Kitchener, and we're talking once again.
There you go. Okay, thanks Andrew for taking some time, and I appreciate the insight.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks, James.
Take care. That was Andrew Osmond. He does Jens hockey on the Durham region Rogers TV, and he also is the manager of our digital products at City News, works out of Toronto. So Andrew's a stand-up guy. I emailed him today and I said, look, I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight on the post-game show. Do you want to spend a couple minutes with me on the air? And he said, sure, no problem, we'll have some fun. So we did. I was hoping that I could just rub his face into a Kitchener Rangers win, but that didn't happen. Connor Lockhart said, don't worry, Andrew, we got you. We got you. We'll come out with a win. We're going to head back to the phones. We have Bailey on the line. Bailey, go ahead, and thank you for waiting.
Yeah, no worries at all. Honestly, I just wanted to say that I think, like, emotions are super high all the way across our town right now, especially in our locker room with everything going on after the couple losses against Guelph there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we played as a great team tonight, to be honest. I think the turnovers were a little bit high, but honestly, it's to be expected when we have so much emotion running through a team like we do. I'm excited to head to Erie, and then I'm super excited for the playoffs, to be honest with you. And I just can't wait until we free that Swicky boy.
Yeah, so. You know what, Bailey, that's a good point, because when it comes to playoff hockey and a first-round matchup, you want a guy like Trent Swick in your lineup.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, especially because, like, he's such a playmaker, but he's such a bruiser out there too. Like, he showed up for Reed there in that moment there. So, I mean, like, we can't expect much more from him. You know what I mean? Like, he's crazy good, and I think he's going to have to face the suspension, and it sucks, but it is what it is. And I think once he's free from behind those bars there, we'll see some Trent action again, and I'm excited for that. But
He definitely causes some havoc in front of a goalie. And as someone, I've played goalie in hockey before, and I've had people that are similar to Trent in front of a net, and those are guys that you do not want in front of you wreaking havoc, trying to get the puck in the back of the net.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thanks so much. It was nice talking to you. I hope you have a good night. Go Rangers, and I'm excited for our game tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Bailey. Appreciate the call, and thanks for waiting again. It's good to get that perspective, too, about how the emotions run high in hockey. It happens all the time where emotions run high and things happen that you don't necessarily, the intent might not be what you want it to be, but Trent was sticking up for his teammate, and you can't, like Bailey said, you can't really ask him for much, much more than that. We're going to head to another break, and then we'll come back with more of Rangers Talk on City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now. 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
All right. Welcome back to Rangers Talk on City News 570. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Mike and Paul. See, sometimes when I fill in on this show, I forget that I have to say Mike and Paul. And then when I fill in for Mike on the talk show, it's just Mike. So forgive me. It seems like I just fill in for Mike a lot of the times. And sometimes that's true. But tonight, it's for Mike and Paul. They're on the bus to Erie. They have to play against the Erie Otters tomorrow night. They end their regular season on the road in Erie. And the only thing that was missing from tonight's game outside of, you know, the performance that the Rangers gave was a Rangers win. And if you were sitting in the auditorium tonight and you saw that game, I think, anyways, you got money well spent. Money well spent. Parsons put on a tremendous performance. We had the Kitchener kid score his 43rd goal of the year, Matt Sopp. And the Rangers just came out a little bit short in overtime. 18 seconds in, they win a faceoff. The Generals come down, score the goal, and Connor Lockhart puts it to bed. And an 11th straight win for the Oshawa Generals. We have Ryan on the line. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. Where's Farzy?
Well, they have to travel to Erie tonight.
Oh, well, I hope they drive safe. I was supposed to call the game tonight, but I couldn't do it because my kid's playing hockey. It's potentially his last minor hockey game. So, but didn't get a chance to watch. But going 2-1 against the Gens are a good team. I don't know who was on before, but, you know, it's going to be nice to see them. Are they in the playoffs? I don't even know who the Gens are. Were they sit in the stands? Are they in there or what?
Number one in the Eastern Conference.
What happened to Windsor last year?
That's my point, right? The Rangers swept them.
Exactly. So let's put this game behind us. It's a good game, good gritty game. But the boys, like, let's see them take the what is it called again? The Mem Cup. I think the boys got a Mem Cup team this year. Like, Soppy is unreal. Unbelievable hockey player. Good squad. What do you think, bud?
I think the Rangers have every opportunity to get past the first few rounds in the playoffs. Having said that, it's never ideal to lose three straight before you start a playoff round, but let's just hope that they show up tomorrow night in Erie, they win that game, and they force a first round matchup with the Guelph Storm potentially instead of the Erie Otters.
You know what? One could call that motivation too, right? You go down
Absolutely.
Three games, you step into the first round of the playoffs. Maybe we don't want to sweep, But the boys can play. Like, you've seen them play. Like, they're unbelievable this year. It's such a fun game to watch. These guys are unreal.
And you know what? They were missing quite a bit of players in the lineup tonight, and they still pushed the Generals to an overtime loss. So,
yeah, no doubt. Hey, pal, thanks for taking my call. Let's go, Blue. Let's go, boys in blue. Not the Leafs, but the boys in blue. Let's go. East Avenue, baby.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call. I think that he's right. Just because the Generals are in first place does not, you still have to play those games in the playoffs, right? The Rangers know what an upset is like, what it looks like, that sort of thing. We all know that. And we all know that you can get eliminated in the first round as the number one seed. We saw it last year. We have Uncle Rob on the line. Uncle Rob, go ahead.
JSS, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good.
I was happy to get out to the game tonight. Unfortunately, it was a loss, but, you know, there was some good action there. A little tough in that first period. They kind of had us penned in. But that's a big, strong team, Oshawa. So
yeah.
I kind of look at this season as the unexpected season, right? So unexpected to do as well as we did during the regular season. Ended up fourth, which is really good based on what the expectations were going in. And for my nephew, definitely, you know, we were always hoping for the best, but he certainly has exceeded all of our expectations. So it's, you know, the unexpected theme continues with him doing so well. So we're really happy about the performance he's put in and the leadership role that he's taken on and the hard minutes that he's putting on out there and giving the fans a pretty good show. So my hope is that based on the last 2 years that I think if they made it to the third round of the playoffs, that would be a really good result for this team because a lot of times we keep forgetting how young these guys are.
Yeah. You know,
this is a rookie-laden team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big thing, the big positive for Ranger fans is that if we're doing this well with this team this year, the future years coming up are going to be very exciting. I think Ranger tickets are going to, I don't know how they can get any hotter than they are already. The only thing I'd say is do something about that parking lot. I ended up with a $25 ticket tonight, JSS, but anyway, that's okay. No problem.
We got to get Barry on the line to figure that one out for you, eh?
No, you know what? I'm happy to contribute to the city of Kitchener. Mayor, my mayor.
Uncle Rob, thanks so much for the call. And I think Matt, I interviewed Matt at the start of the season at Rangers Fan Fest. And the one thing that he said to me that always stood out every single time that I watch him play is that he said, why not us? And why can't we be the one team that surprises everyone this year? And the Rangers, I think, have done that.
They've been doing that for sure, yeah. Well, let's hope for a long run in the playoffs. It'd be the end of a magical season for sure. Take care, JSS.
Thanks so much, Uncle Rob. Appreciate the call. That was Uncle Rob. He got a ticket at the odd. What is that? Let's, Adam, let's dial Kitchener Mayor Barry Verbanovic, and let's do something about that. I know he said he's happy to contribute to the city of Kitchener. Come on. You're gonna ticket Matthew Sopp's uncle? Guy scored 43 goals for the Rangers this year. We'll start a GoFundMe page to get the $25 back to Uncle Rob's pocket. That's what we do these days, right? We start GoFundMe pages, yeah? That's what we do? Okay. All right. I think Uncle Rob's right. I think this team, I don't think anyone expected them to be finishing the season fourth in the Western Conference, second in their division. I think that when you look at how they started the season with a bunch of question marks in terms of starting the season with a bunch of rookies, not knowing exactly what you're going to get out of your 16-year-olds, and then starting the season off as well as they did, with Parsons playing extremely well all through this season, the Rangers really getting the coaching that they needed and deserved to be a team that is full of rookies and can perform at the ability that they need to perform at to be a fourth place team. And yeah, sure. You can say all you want that, you know, the Rangers were in first place for what, 50% of the season, that sort of thing. We all knew that at some point they would go through adversity, and they went through basically almost the first half of the season without any. And then they started facing some adversity. That's good for a team through a season. You never want to try and skate by a season without any of that adversity, because then if you get to the playoffs and you have to face at least a little bit, that you won't know what to do with it. So they face some adversity. They have a very honest coach. We all hear him on the air in his interviews about how honest his assessments are of his team. He thought that they played peewee hockey tonight. Some disagree, some agree. Matt Andonofsky agreed with that. He said, we only showed up for 20 minutes of this game, not 60. Okay. By the way, Matt Andonofsky tonight got a standing ovation at the auditorium after those two block shots that he had against the Generals too, and putting his body on the line. And you heard him in the post-game show too with Fixie, where he said, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I need to do to get some energy into this lineup is block shots. And yeah, it might hurt a little bit less knowing that I have the auditorium behind me and cheering me on after I block those shots. And you know what? That is, you know, that's what you need from a guy like Matthew Andonofsky, a guy that can do that on the back end and be there for his goaltender when he needs him. That's what you want out of your defense. We have Eddie on the line. Eddie, go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Eddie. How are you?
Pretty good. You know what? It was I got three things to say, so I'll just start with Swick. You know,
yeah.
I feel like that's a hot topic lately.
It is.
That's ridiculous. That 5-game suspension is ridiculous. But I will say I did like the shirts some of the Rangers were playing with the free Swicky. So that was in the picture of Swick behind some bars. That was pretty funny. Moving on to the game, I'll say, you know what, Oshawa's a good team. Rangers missing four guys, four key guys at that. Parsons played great, so I guess that'll be my third point. Parsons played great. You know what? I'm happy with the effort they put out there. I know, you know, not winning a game isn't too happy, especially when you're on a 3-game losing streak, almost heading into the playoffs. You got one more game tomorrow, but you know what? I don't leave super disappointed.
All right, Eddie, thanks so much for the call. And yeah, I agree that the free Swicky t-shirts were definitely something that the Rangers were rallying behind tonight. It's too bad they couldn't get the win. But if I'm the Rangers, and if I'm looking at doing business the right way, you get those t-shirts up at Rangers Authentics for the first round of the playoffs. How can you not sell out of those t-shirts, given how inconsistent the decisions can be at that head office of the Ontario Hockey League? Listen, here's my hot take. I'm going to give you my Trent Swick hot take right now. If what Trent Swick did was as bad as some of the things that we've heard about what we saw on the ice, if that was a 5-game suspension, I would like to know what some of the London Knights suspensions are like this season, because we have seen time and time again a few players on the Knights get suspensions for things that were more egregious than what Trent Swick did on Tuesday night. And I don't think, I mean, you can say anything, you can say what you want about the league always wanting to prop up their most storied franchise and the London Knights and all that stuff. And the Hunters have, you know, branch wrapped around their finger, all that stuff. But Ryder Bolton's been suspended how many times this year? The fact that I can't even remember how many times that guy's been suspended is a problem, right? And he has done stuff more egregious than what Trent Swick did. And I think that there is definitely some value into why people are upset about Trent Swick's suspension. But at the end of the day, We can whine and complain about it all we want. We all know that we're going to be at the auditorium for game one of the first round of the playoffs. And when you look at it that way, when the league does things that are questionable and we still buy tickets to cheer on the Rangers, sometimes you have to show the league that you're willing not to spend that money because of their poor decision-making. But again, we want to support our Rangers. We never want to not be there for the Rangers. And I think that at the end of the day, something has to give at the league office. Something has to give. You have to be a little bit more consistent and not be wildly inconsistent about, oh, this guy from Sudbury is not going to get any playoff games, but this guy from Kitchener will get playoff games. And honestly, again, the whole Kurzakis suspension too, you can question that all you want as well. Sometimes it's not curse words that gets you suspended. It is what comes out of your mouth in terms of questioning the credibility of an OHL referee. And Kurzakis has every right to do that, but it doesn't mean that he's free from punishment on that. And you know what? After I heard that Kurzakis got suspended, the one thing that I said to myself was, who was the referee in the game that night? And when I went to the OHL website and I saw that it was Mr. Birchall, I said, I am not surprised that Kurzakis got suspended. And then when I saw Sean Fruffaro's tweets about what was said in the direction of Darcy Birchall, I am not surprised that Kurzakis got tossed. And I'm not surprised that the league suspended him for some hurt feelings around Darcy Birchall. But as Eddie said, the Trent Spook suspension was a hot topic. It definitely is. It definitely is. Because you need a guy like that in the playoffs. You need a guy like that in the playoffs. There's no question. We've seen it far too often in hockey where a guy like Trent Spook is so, so valuable in what he brings to the team, the energy that he brings, the physicality that he plays with, the fact that he can score goals. He can fight, he can hit, he can make plays. That's a guy that is a depth piece, but is an important piece as well. And the free Swicky t-shirts, let's get Joe Birch on the line to get that into Rangers Authentics. Let's get Joe Birch on the line. And you know what? I would hope that given... And maybe it hasn't happened, but I would hope, given the history that Joe Birch has working at the league office, that, you know, he has some sort of ability to talk to them and say, look, we think this is inconsistent, not fair, and, you know, we deserve Trent Spook to be in our lineup. But again, you have to look at also what he did to Namestnikov, and yeah, you could argue that that hit on Cameron Reed was a blindside hit. It was to an unsuspecting Cameron Reed. The angle of it goes against kind of the rules of what a blindside hit is. So you could argue that you know, they would have a case, and that Namestnikov did not get anything. But at the end of the day, all you can do is deal with what was put in front of you, and that is exactly what they're trying to do right now. Kurzakis will be back for game one of the playoffs. At least Ahokas will have his power play guy back. But Trent Spook will not be back until game four of the playoffs. We're going to head to a break, and then we'll come back with more of Rangers Talk on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
right. Welcome back to Rangers Talk on City News 570. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Mike and Paul. They're on their way to Erie on the bus. Last regular season game of the season for the Kitchener Rangers against the Erie Otters. The last time the Rangers and Otters met at Erie Insurance Arena, the Erie Otters pumped them for 6 goals. 6-1 was the game that was the final score in that game. 4 goals in the first period for the Erie Otters. The Rangers scored the lone goal in the second period. That was Simon Motu. The Erie Otters really took it to the Kitchener Rangers that night. So, the Rangers are hoping to start end the season on a winning note. The Rangers are 4-1 against the Erie Otters so far this season, looking to go 5-1 against those Otters. And the Otters are 1-2-2 against the Rangers this season. The Rangers beat them 6-2, 5-4, 10-3, and 5-4 in the previous four matchups before that 6-1 drubbing from Erie. And I think that the Rangers can do it and have the season end on a high note. Matthew Sopp scored his 43rd goal of the season for the Rangers. He tied the game shortly after Connor Lockhart made it 1-0 for the Oshawa Generals. And then Connor Lockhart was a difference maker just 18 seconds into the overtime period tonight at the auditorium, sending Rangers fans home a little bit on a sour note. And then the city of Kitchener sending Uncle Rob home on a really sour note, getting a ticket on his vehicle. I don't know. You would think that. So Uncle Rob is Rob Deutschman. He's a regional counselor in this community as well. You would think that a regional counselor would be able to have some pull to get rid of that ticket. I'm just saying. Phone up the city of Kitchener. I'm glad that he shared that with me because I'm advocating on behalf of Uncle Rob to get his ticket just thrown out the window. The guy got to see his nephew score his 43rd goal of the season tonight. He was at the game, and then they lose in overtime, and then you just kick the guy when he's down and give him that ticket on his windshield. Oh, man. Now what if Uncle Rob wanted to use that $25 to go to the game one of the playoffs next week? I don't know. But the Rangers are looking to break this 3-game losing streak that they're on and start the playoffs on a high note. The Erie Otters are obviously still fighting for fifth place in the Western Conference. They are tied with the Gulf Storm. We're taking a look at some of the scores from tonight. The London Knights beat the Windsor Spitfires 4-3, so the London Knights still firmly in first place in the Western Conference. The Steelheads lost to the North Bay Battalion 5-4. That would take the Steelheads out of the running for first place with the Oshawa win tonight. And Sudbury pumped the Barrie Colts 13-4. They scored 5 goals in the first, 5 goals in the second, 3 goals in the third, on way to a 13-4 win against the lowly Barrie Colts, who are going to make the playoffs, and they've clinched a playoff spot. But that's a rough result if you're the Barrie Colts. Tomorrow, notable games to keep an eye on tomorrow. The Guelph Storm are in Owen Sound taking on the Attack. That would have implications for that fifth spot for the Guelph Storm. The Rangers take on the Otters. So if the Rangers kind of have a little bit of their destiny in their hands if they want if they want to play either Erie or Guelph, depending on that Guelph result. So that's a game to keep an eye on if you're a Rangers fan. And then to end the season on Sunday as well, we have the Guelph Storm taking on the London Knights, and Erie Otters' last game of the season is tomorrow against the Kitchener Rangers. So even if the Otters lose tomorrow against the Rangers and the Storm win out the rest of the weekend, they will clinch fifth in the Western Conference and play the Rangers. If the Otters win tomorrow night against the Rangers and the Storm win tomorrow night but lose on Sunday against the London Knights, then the Erie Otters will finish in fifth place because they have the tiebreaker with the Guelph Storm right now. And that could be the difference. That could be the difference. But the Guelph Storm have been playing unbelievable hockey so far on the stretch that they're on right now. When it comes to the streak that they're on, they're playing some good hockey right now. And obviously they beat the Rangers twice in a row on their back-to-back last week. The Rangers played a phenomenal game tonight in terms of, Jackson Parsons playing well and having a really solid third period. Obviously, Ahokas disagrees that they didn't play very well in the first two periods, but that is he's allowed to be picky because that's his team. But they took the Oshawa Generals, a first-place team in the Eastern Conference, to overtime, and I think you can build off of that. So because of that, the Rangers are in Erie tomorrow night. They'll finish the season there, and we'll see if they get a win and end the season on a high note. And we'll have all of the Rangers playoff games for you on right here on City News 570 as they start the playoffs next week. Thanks so much for all the calls tonight on Rangers Talk. And thanks for tuning into the game and hearing the Rangers overtime loss against the Oshawa Generals. For Mike and Paul, I'm James Sebastian Scott. Thanks so much for tuning in to Rangers Talk on City News 570.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.